We're making a siyum on Sefer Bereishit, and I'd like to take a look at one simple pasuk that is thorny. And you can see it from the title, Ad Ki Avo Shilo. It's actually going to take a look at one phrase, which is thorny, has a stormy history of parshanut, and plays an interesting role in polemical literature. We'll look at all of that. But to get to it, we have to get the background. The background is that Perek Mem Tet of Bereishit, which is made up of a lot of small parshiot, is Yaakov's deathbed scene. And he assembles his sons and he gives them brachot. It's a little strange. And last year we looked at kind of the impact of these brachot relative to and connection with the previous perek's assignation of Menashe and Ephraim as sons, what the function of that was. But for purposes of this perek, Yaakov calls them together and says, as you can see here, Heasfu v'yagida lachem et asher yikra etchem b'acharit hayamim. So now, what does Yaakov intend to do here? So there's two different ways to read it. I'll take the way that Rashi reads it, based on the Midrash, that acharit hayamim always implies an eschaton, meaning an end of days scenario, end of history. And that Yaakov wanted to tell them when Mashiach will come, and the end of history will happen. And then in the next pasuk, when he starts moving towards speaking to the boys individually, the Ruach HaKodesh left him and didn't allow him to be Megaleh et HaKetz. That's one way to look at it. We have to ask a few things about that comment. First question I want to ask is, what does Yemot HaMashiach mean to Yaakov? In other words, the notion of Biyat HaMashiach is a notion of restoration, meaning that we had a glorious kingdom under David, and we're waiting for that glorious kingdom to be restored when the Beit HaMikdash is built and we're sovereign and we're recognized in the world and we're run by a religious, properly political, etc., everything we're looking for. It's a little hard to think about Yaakov being interested in sharing the Ketz and when Mashiach is going to come in his context. But whatever that may mean, there is a different way of looking at this, and that's the direction we're going to take, which is that acharit hayamim is a relative term. By the way, there's many Rishonim who say this. One of the most famous scenes that's called acharit hayamim is in the second chapter of Yeshayahu. Right? Vayab acharit hayamim nachon yah har beit Adonai, right? And that all the goyim are going to come and say, let's go learn, ki vitzion teitzei Torah. When is that referring to? So many people will say that's referring to a messianic era. But there are some Rishonim who say that's referring to the era of Chizkiyahu. And so acharit hayamim could be understood and is most likely understood in Pshat as being at the end of this era that we're in. So today we would say be'acharit hayamim and referring to a time when we can hug each other and not wear masks, when we're out of this era, right? So Yaakov may be saying to his sons, let me tell you what's going to happen when this period is over. So what is this period? We are now in Egypt, and I know that we're not getting out quick because Yaakov lived there for 17 years, but only the first 5 years of that was there a famine. They came down for a famine, and you would expect that 5 years later, they'd pack up their bags and they'd leave. They didn't leave, they stayed and they settled in, and they became populous, and they became the top 1%ers in the population. So the family wasn't about to leave. So acharit hayamim seems to be referring to the time when we're going to leave, or when this period's over. Okay, and then he says the following: Hikavtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov v'shimu Yisrael avichem, which is an introduction, and then he goes son by son and says certain things. What is he saying? So all we're going to concern ourselves with is the first four sons, and that is Reuven, then Shimon and Levi together, then Yehuda, because it's fairly clear what's happening. The first four sons is a unit. Yaakov is about to identify which son should be the leader in the family. He's naming a leader of the family. And the first person he's got to start with is Reuven. Reuven's the Bechor. Reuven Bechori Ata. Kochi Reshitoni Yeter Seit V'Yeter Az. Very nice. But Pachas Kamayim Al Totar Ki Alita Mishkevei Avicha. You were too hasty. You were like water. And therefore you lost your advantage. As chilalta yitzui Allah, you violated my bed, sleeping with Bilhah, whatever it is. Next, he's got to talk to Shimon, and he's got to talk to Levi. And he does it very simply by putting Shimon and Levi together because they are rejected from leadership because of what they did together. And that's likely because of what they did in Shechem, although some read this as being about Nechirat Yosef, and we're familiar with the passage. So next is Yehuda. And it says, Yehuda, atayu ducha achecha. Your brothers acknowledge you. Yadcha ba'orif oivecha. Your hands are on the your hand is on the neck of your enemies, and as you're successful in war, yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha. Now, how b'nei avicha is different than achecha? That's a shiur I gave a couple of years ago, and who are achecha here? Gur aryeh Yehuda miterav b'nei alita karavatz karayeh yuchla lavi miyekimenu. Three different ways Yehuda here is referred to as a lion, aryeh, then lavi. Okay, and now to our pasuk. So Yehuda is the leader. Lo, yeah, by the way, the last two psukim, Osirila Gefen Iro, the last two are about the land that Yehuda is going to inherit, which is a land of both grains and therefore grasses, that is, and therefore there's going to be a lot of goats eating, and since the goats are eating, there's going to be a lot of milk. And the second thing is it's a very good place for vineyards. And we're familiar with Yikvei Agush and the Yekev and Hebron, and the whole area of Yehuda and Emek Ha'ilah is all very rich in good soil for vineyards. All right, and you live there, Dovi, yourself in Eretz Yehuda. All right, so I want to focus on Pasuk Yod. And Pasuk Yod, as I mentioned, has a long and storied and troubling history, as you can well guess, because, we'll get to it when we get to it. Let's start with this. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. The scepter shall not leave Yehuda, umchokek mi bein raglav, nor a lawgiver from between his legs. Between his legs seems to mean as his child, the sign of Yehuda. Now, what does this mean? Before we get to the real difficult part, what does this mean? The scepter shall not leave Yehuda, because remember we're talking about Acharit Hayamim. Now, if we take Rashi's perspective, then Yaakov wanted to talk about Acharit Hayamim, but that didn't work, so we're going somewhere else. But following the idea that Yaakov is still on the Acharit Hayamim notion, he's saying this is what's going to happen in the next era. The scepter shall not leave Yehuda. What does that mean? Does that mean that Yehuda right now is the leader, and Yehuda will continue to be the leader forever, or until some particular time, the terminus that we're going to see? Or does it mean something else? We're going to take a look at the Mefarshim. And then the real troubling phrase, which I highlighted, is Ad ki avo Shiloh. And the real tricky word is Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes, until they come to Shiloh, what does that mean? Velo yikahat amim. And to unto him, the nations will be gathered. Okay. Now, I'm just going to, as a forspice, let you know, the Christians love this pasuk. And it is well documented in polemic literature going back to the early parts of the previous millennium, 11th, 12th centuries, that they were interpreting this verse as being about the fellow on the cross. And Ad ki avo Shiloh, Jerome in the Vulgate reads it Ad ki avo Shaliach, until the messenger of God comes. That's how they refer to Jesus. And Velo yikatamim, and all the nations will be gathered to him, again referring to him. Which is very odd, because then what you, if you put that into the pasuk, what you mean to say is that the leadership will always be with Yehuda until he comes. Well, that's kind of strange, because if you open up the synoptic gospels, you'll see that at least in Matthew and Luke, they start with a genealogy that goes all the way back to Abraham, and that the purpose of it is to link Jesus into the family of David. In other words, that he is a rightful heir to the throne. So why would you say the leadership will stay with Yehuda until he comes? It should be the leadership will stay with Yehuda and he'll continue it. So it sort of defeats itself. as kind of an interesting side piece, Sefer Yosef Mekaneh, which was a medieval book of polemics, records that the Christians like to say, it's interesting that the Christians would play with Rosh HaTevot. It almost looks like Lahavdil, 4 million Havdalot, the Balaturim. But they would love Rosh HaTevot. So the Christians, for instance, would take a look at the Torah and they'd say to a Jew, you know something? The first three letters of the Torah already tell you about Christianity. Right? First three letters of the Torah are What are they? First three letters in the Torah. Bet Reish Aleph, which stands, of course, we all know, for Ben Ruach Av, right? So the Jewish response to that was, well, look at the next three letters. Sheker Yeshu v'Torato. Now, this is all going back and forth, but in other words, they kind of delighted in these sort of things, and they did the same thing here. Yavo Shilo Velo, Yeshu. Cute. Rabbi Tam's answer to that was, Yikat Amim, if you look at the first and last letter of each of those words, which Rabbi Tam himself didn't take seriously. He says, you want to play that game? I can play that game. Look at Rosh Tevot and Sofei Tevot, you have Yat'im, which means Yeshu Yat'im, Yeshu misled them. So you want to find Yeshu in there? I'll find Yeshu in there, and I'll tell you what he really did. And so, again, this pasuk is rife for this. But now let's look at our history of interpretation and see if we can come up with something that we can work with. Okay, we'll start with Onklus. How does Onklus translate this? Adiyete Mashicha. So what's Ad Ki Yavo Shilo? Until Mashiach comes. Right? So that's the same direction. Why is Mashiach called Shilo? The delay him malchuta. In other words, shelo. He's reading shelo as shelo. In other words, until the one that it all belongs to, meaning the kingdom belongs to. Okay? So shelo is another name for Mashiach. Rashi has two interpretations. Rashi says, Melech HaMashiach, Shamlucha shelo, v'chein tergem unklus, unklus. That's one. Two is, Midrash Haggadah is shilo. Kind of like the way we refer to the town in Kentucky in the Civil War thing and the great Neil Diamond song, Shiloh. Shiloh, two words. Shenemar yovilu shai lamora. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. They will bring a gift to the one that they fear, meaning Melech HaMashiach. And since he will be received tributes, therefore, so that means Rashi is reading this also about Mashiach. But again, we have the problem that the scepter will not leave Yehuda until Mashiach comes. It must be ad v'ad bichlal, meaning it'll stay with Yehuda all the way through Mashiach coming. Because certainly in our tradition, Mashiach is a ben David. Okay. But not everybody went in that direction. You take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam here, Lo Yaser Shev Yehuda, says as follows. Hamachut hanitan lo lishtachavot lo kol achav, meaning in the earlier pasuk, Yaakov said that Yehuda's brothers will bow to him. Shemasar lo tifsok imenu kol otag dula, that leadership will not leave him. V'lo mechokeku svara mizaro, leadership and being the lawgiver will not leave his kids. Ad ki yavo Yehuda shilo. What does that mean? Ad ki yavo melech Yehuda is Rechavam ben Shlomo, sheba lechadesh hamlucha b'shilo. Shezeo karov l'shchem. Now, this commentary is wonderful, it's beautiful, but it misses by a few miles. And, you know, a miss by a mile is as good as a miss of 1,000 miles. The Rashbam says as follows. What is Ad Ki Yavo Shilo? It means that Yehuda will be the leader until they come to Shilo. When do they come to Shilo? So he's saying, okay, not Shilo, but Shechem, which is, you know, Shechem is in Shiloh is in Ephraim's territory, Shechem is in Manasseh's territory. It's about 20 miles north. Okay. And what happened when they came to Shechem? So if you recall the story after Shlomo died, and God had decreed that David's seed would lose full control because of Shlomo's behavior, Rechavam, Shlomo's son, who was the crown prince, now was going to be king, went to Shechem. In order to be crowned by the tribes of the north, by Ephraim and Manasseh were the powerful tribes. And if you remember, he went there and they said to him, if you lighten your father's taxes, we'll be loyal to you. Rechavam, of course, made the fatal mistake of listening to his buddies who said, stick it to them. And he said, I'm going to make the taxes worse. Katoni avam imotne avi, they told him to say, my pinky is thicker than my father's waist. And they rebelled. There was a tax rebellion. And that was the split kingdom. So the Rashbam says, Yaakov here has nivuah, that Yehuda will be the leader until the time that they come to Shiloh. And at that point, Shiloh, Shechem, and at that point, he'll lose it. Now, what isn't accounted for here is, but Yehuda is not the leader from now until David. Matter of fact, from now until David, we have a Levi who's the leader, that's Moshe. Then we have a member of Ephraim who's the leader, that's Yoshua. And then when they get into the land, there are no leaders. And then the first leader is from Binyamin. That's Shaul. And only then David is named. And there's two generations of that leadership. So what does he mean by that? All right. So the Ramban takes the following approach. Ad ki avo Shiloh. And again, the range of interpretations here tells you how confusing and difficult this passage is. Ad ki avo Shiloh v'lo yikat amim. He says, this is talking about Mashiach. All the nations are going to come to it. That's Lo Yikatamim. Kashevet Yirmoz the David, right? The Shevet alludes to, the scepter alludes to David, who's the Melech HaRishon. Shiloh Beno Asher Lo Yikatamim. So again, the Ramban reads it the same way as Mashiach. The Radak, from David Kimchi. So means your children, okay? And now, v'yamar lotasur sraram Yehudah shielo yoter shiye melech. The leadership will not leave Yehudah until he has this child who's a king. And that's David, meaning Yehudah is going to be the leader all the time until he has a king. Uperesh Shiloh is beno. How is Shiloh become your son? Means shiliyata. We're familiar with that word from the Torah. It refers to the placenta. So Shiloh being shiliyato. Ad ki avo, until the child comes. And the child being David, not Mashiach. Then he quotes the Midrashim about it being Mashiach. The Chizkuni adopts the Rashbam about the splitting of the kingdom, right? And then he has another take which fixes the Rashbam a little bit. If you remember, the problem with the Rashbam is that the Rashbam conflated Shechem and Shiloh, and that's a little unfair. So the Chizkuni fixes that. He says, Davar Acher in 7 Bet, Ad ki avo Shiloh is Achiyah HaShiloni. Shiloh is most famous for being the house of the Mishkan, and we're going to get back to that. But it's also famous because it was the birthplace or the home of a Navi by the name of Achiyah, who plays one role in Jewish history in Tanakh. He plays a lot of other roles in mystical literature later, but in Tanakh he plays one role, which is he's the guy who finds Yeravam out in the field and takes his garment and tears it into 12 strips and gives 10 of them to him and says, you're going to be the king over 10 tribes, but only temporarily and only if you're loyal, etc. And that's where the Pilug HaMalchut, the splitting of the kingdom, happens. So Chizkuni says, oh, Ad ki avo Shiloh, until the one from Shiloh comes and sets up that split. So by the way, we have seen so far two major directions in this, in Parshanut here, meaning with a lot of details. One major direction is this is eschatological. It's talking about Mashiach coming. And the problem with the word Ad is you certainly cannot say that Shevet Yehudah has been leadership for the last 3,000 years. And Mashiach hasn't come yet, last I checked. The other approach is to say this is referring to some time period from now until something that's going to happen in the land. It's going to be the split of the kingdom when Yehudah will lose their grip or their hold over the over leadership. The problem, of course, is Yehudah did not have that leadership that whole time. Okay. The Sforno, Rabbi Avadya Sforno says, Ad ki avo Shiloh, hine tevat Shiloh. The word Shiloh, morkevet mishorish shul. Shul means to cast off, to cast down. Moresh Shilayim, Mishorash Shelam Uram, Amoresh Shalom. So it's like two words put together. From our Shalom Hasof, the peace that it's the end. It's a very interesting bit of etymology, that creative etymology. Amar Shezesh Amar Shiel Yudah Shem Chokek Merachav Bilvad Be'od Shivtam Kayam Itamet Ad Kevo Shilo. Meaning, until the end, which is peaceful, will come, and Yehudah's tribe will still be around. And that could be alluded to the fact that many of the tribes disappeared. Yehudah is still here. Most of us in this session, well, we got a couple of Levim here and a couple of us from Yehudah. All right. All of that, very nice. I'd like to propose a whole different take. Taking a look at the Psukim. Hi, Ben. The passage starts out with Yaakov saying, let me tell you what's going to happen be'acharit hayamim. Now, what's his purpose here? What is he trying to accomplish? As we look through the rest of the brachot, we see that he is not predicting, but he is commanding. In other words, he doesn't predict that Reuven's going to lose it. He's commanding. Reuven lost it. He's not commanding that Shimon and Levi are going to lose land. He's saying, you don't get land. You blew it. You lose land. I don't want to be part of it. He is not predicting that Zvulun will be a merchant marine. He's saying, Zvulun, your job is to be the seafarer, etc. So why would we think differently about Yehuda? That this is a prophetic piece about what will happen as opposed to saying this is what should happen. Okay. And again, taking the notion that Acharit HaYamim means at the end of this particular period, when this period is over, what period are we in? We're in Egypt. At a particular point, we're going to leave Egypt. And we're going to come to the land. Now, we have something here. Second here. All right, where are we? Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Sorry, somebody was just making some noise. Okay. So something very strange happens when we get to Yoshua and we come into the land. We come into the land and we fight for the land. And after we fight for the land and we conquer as much as we conquer, then Yoshua starts dividing up the land. And in the middle of dividing up the land, after Yehuda got what they got and Ephraim and Asher got what they got, we have this strange pasuk coming out of nowhere. Vayikalu kol adat b'nei Yisrael Shiloh. They all gather at Shiloh. Vayashkinu shem et olam moed. They put the olam moed there. Why? And that becomes the center for the next few hundred years. That's the center, Shiloh. Why? Mapitom. The town of Shiloh becomes the center. And from that point, Yoshua sends seven tribes out to go scout at the land, and then divides the rest of the land among those seven, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like to propose that Shiloh is not a new idea. Meaning, it's not like Yoshua or the people said, you know what, this looks like a good place. It's fairly central. Let's go here. But rather, it is an ancient site that was always set for them to come to. If you take a look at the story of Abraham, Abraham comes into the land, and the first place he comes to is to Shechem, and in Shechem, Elon Moreh sets up a Mizbeach, and then he continues going south. And he comes to a place south, which is somewhere near Beit El and near Ha'ai, and he sets up a Mizbeach. Right? I'd like to suppose that Mizbeach is somewhere in the vicinity of Shechem. Beit El is certainly south of Shechem, but this is, in the vicinity of Shiloh. Why am I saying that? Because of the following. We find a word used in the context of Abraham, which is really only used in one other context. And that is, two other contexts. And that is selection. We have a pasuk, we know it from Pasuk Eri Zimra, Tahu Adonai Elohim, Asher Bachar to be Avram. Bachar to be Avram. Hashem selected Avram. Hashem also selected the Mikdash and David. And Hashem also selected a place. What place is that? Which then coalesces later. You take a look in Dvarim, Moshe says in Perek Yud Bet, we're not going to do like we're doing now. We're going to come to the land and we're only going to worship at Hamakom Asher Yivchar Adonai. Hamakom Asher Yivchar Adonai becomes a mantra throughout the middle of Dvarim. The place that Hashem will choose. The place that Hashem will choose. It's funny that Avram is associated with Bechirat. No other of the individual avot or people in Shemot is called Bechirat. But Avram is Nivchar, is selected. And this place is selected, the place that Hashem is going to select. One last piece to the puzzle. When you look in Yirmiyahu Zion, and Yirmiyahu is countering the prophets who are saying God will never destroy his own house. Yirmiyahu turns to them, source 12, and says, L'chuna el mikomi asher b'shiloh. God says, go look at my place, mikomi, which is in Shiloh. Asher shikanti shmi sham b'rishonah. That's the first place that I made my name to rest. And then, uruot asher asitim ne'rad ami Yisrael. I destroyed it because of the evil of the people. So don't think the Beit HaMikdash is going to stand just because it's my house. I'll destroy my own house. I did it before. God identifies Shiloh as mikomi, my place. And very likely it's because that's the place where Avram set up the Mizbeach. And Avraham is my Bechir, my selected, my chosen one. Okay? So now, I'd like to suggest the following. That what Yaakov is saying here is as follows. Yehuda will be the leader until what happens? Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until they come to Shiloh. Yaakov here is not predicting, he's commanding. He's saying when you come to the land, after you fight the wars, and we'll get to that in a minute, you need to set up the Mishkan in Shiloh. That's the place you come to. V'lo yikat amim. What does lo yikat amim mean? First of all, who are amim? Amim are the tribes. You look at me funny, but think about this pasuk. Amim hayikrau, shamiz b'chu zivchei tzedek. That's referring to the tribes. The tribes are called amim several times in Vizot HaBrachah. So lo yikat amim, what does lo mean? I don't think it means to Yehuda. It means lo means to the place. In other words, here's what Yaakov is telling them to do. We'll get to Yehuda in a minute. You're going to come to the land, and when you come to the land and everything is settled, I want you to go to Shiloh. Shiloh will be the place where all the Amim will gather. If they're all going to gather there from time to time, what does that mean? That means that they're also going to separate at Shiloh. And then they'll go to the different places, and they'll come back. Because let's think about the system of living, the system of society that the Torah envisions. The Torah does not envision a single nation. The Torah envisions 12 nations. The Torah does not speak about shofet echad, but shoftim shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Every tribe has its own shofet. Study Masachat Horeot. You'll see how much each tribe has its own separate identity when it comes to the Beit Din. And so the notion is that you're going to come into the land as a single army. You're going to march through the desert as a single army. You're going to come to the land as a single army. When this period is over, Acharit HaYamim, you're going to come in and conquer the land as a single army. And then you're going to come to Shiloh. And in Shiloh, you're going to establish a place which will then be the gathering spot for all the nations, the Hind of the Mishkan. And so, when you take a look at the pasuk, suddenly it all becomes clear. Yaakov is not predicting; Yaakov is commanding. Yehuda atayudu chachacha. You are the guy that your brothers acknowledge. Yadcha ba'arf oivecha. He points to Yehuda's power in war. Why is that important? Because Yehuda is like a lion. Why is that important? Because lo yasur shem Yehuda. Yehuda is going to be the leader in war. Which camp marches first? Machane Yehuda. And when they come into the land, they ask, who should go to war first? Yehuda yalav atchila. Yehuda goes to lead the war. Yehuda is the one who leads in war. Matter of fact, in Sefer Shoftim, the first shofet is from Yehuda. But after you've come in, after you've conquered it, ad ki yavo Shiloh, ad means terminus, meaning Yehuda will be the leader until you come to a point where you need no single leader anymore because you're all going to be on your own. And that is how it played out until at the end of the period of the Shoftim, it was clear that we do need a single leader, we do need a Malchut, and then we move towards that. And so we now have a passage in which Yaakov continues with the theme which works throughout, of commanding and directing his sons as to what part in the family they're going to get, what role in the family they're going to play, what portion of the land they're going to get. And that's exactly what happens with the Yehuda. And Yaakov is saying, "Be'acharit hayamim," at the end of days, what's going to happen? End of this period is going to be when we're all settled in Canaan like we're supposed to. Settled in Canaan like we're supposed to doesn't mean that we're all operating together as a single army. The army is to conquer the land. Once that's happened, go our separate ways. You come to Shiloh, and that becomes the middle point. And so Yoshua is simply following great, 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 great grandfather's, I don't know if I did the right amount, directive by going to the town of Shiloh and setting up a Mizbeach, very close to the place where Avram had set up that original Mizbeach. And it explains one other strange thing we have in this parasha, and I'll end with this. You know, in our parasha, we have in our parasha, we have a The last chapter is Yaakov's funeral cortege. He dies in the last pasuk of Memtet, and then they embalm him and they mourn for him. And then there's this long description of the funeral procession that goes to Eretz Canaan to take him back to Hebron. And oddly enough, and if you had to draw a line from the Nile Delta to Hebron, it would not go through Jordan, unless you were quite drunk at the time and couldn't draw a straight line. And yet they go through Eivor HaYarden. Nedemsky made his suggestions about Eivor HaYarden being in Gaza, but the simple shot is they went all the way around to Eivor HaYarden. Why? So there's a phenomenal midrash that suggests that the brothers walked in the funeral procession in the same formation as they would march under Moshe's leadership. Yehuda was in front with Yisachar and Zvulun, Reuven, Gad, and Shimon on one side, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin in the back, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher on the other side. In other words, this is prefiguring the march to Israel. And therefore, they went all the way around to Eivor HaYarden to sort of set that path up. Now, of course, that path wasn't supposed to be the path, but that's how it played out. And so therefore, it's as if we've already set up this army march and this army formation and the conquest at the end of Yaakov's life, because this is the Acharit HaYamim that again gets set up. And a couple hundred years later, when we finally leave Mitzrayim as a single army of 12 nations, then we come into the land and we end up there. So hopefully a different way of looking at a very difficult pasuk. And again, a pasuk which has a stormy history in the world of polemics. There's some other polemics that I didn't share with you that are even nastier. It got nasty on both sides, by the way, medieval polemics with Jews and Christians about Pesukim and Tanakh. But hopefully we have some more insight into this pasuk.